songs this morning and certainly ask an interest in your prayers as I try to share with you today the things that the Lord has placed upon my heart. I want to call your attention, first of all, to a scripture reading found in the 13th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. And again, I want to ask that we be very much in prayer for those who are not saved. In Luke chapter 13, verse 22, it says, "And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up, and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last." Now, if you care to, I'd ask you also to turn to Matthew chapter 25, and I'd like to read some scripture beginning with the first verse of that chapter. Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 1. "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward also came the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." And I want to speak about what Jesus said in both of these passages that I have read before you today, from Luke chapter 13 and also from Matthew chapter 25. And my title today will be When the Master Shuts the Door. And in the account that I read in Luke, that's mentioned in the 25th verse, when once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know ye not whence ye are. And he also mentioned that same thing in the 25th chapter of Matthew concerning the five foolish and the five wise there, how that the foolish had not made the proper preparation for the bridegroom. And he says, while they went to buy the oil that they did not have, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Now, I want to say to you today that are here, that are lost, again, that you need to make preparations for eternity while you have the opportunity. Because salvation is not always going to be offered unto you. And I hope today that that will really sink into your hearts. You know, I wish that it would sink into the hearts of God's people, that we're not going to always have the opportunity to reach out and to try to persuade those who are lost to seek the Lord. I'm not sure a lot of times if we envision that and we believe that as God's people the way that we should. I see too many situations, it seems, with parents who have been saved and their children are lost, and it seems like that so often they don't bring them to the house of God and expose them to the gospel the way that they should as Christian parents. And I have to wonder, do they really stop and think about the time that the door will be shut and there'll be no more opportunity for their children to be saved, to seek the Lord and find Him? And so, you know, we realize from the teachings of God's Word that we don't know when the Lord is going to come. And sometimes I think that that's used in this sense. Well, we don't know when He's going to come, and so it could be many, many years yet, and there could be many years yet of opportunity. Well, certainly that is a possibility, but the fact that we don't know when He's going to come, for all we know, He may come today. And so, you know, the wise thing is to be ready when He comes. And that's what Jesus was teaching here in that parable in the 25th chapter of Matthew, to be ready for the time when He comes. Now, again, we don't know when that the Lord Jesus is going to come. And lost friend, I want to tell you something else. You don't know when the day of your death is going to come either. You don't know when your final opportunity is going to come. And I want to encourage you and urge you, if you are here today and you realize that you are lost and separated from God, that you take advantage of what God is giving you right now. Because, you know, even though we don't know the day and the hour, and that's exactly what Jesus taught. He said there's no man that knows the day or the hour of His coming. Only His Father in heaven has that knowledge. But we do know this, that we know that every day that passes, that His coming is drawing closer. You know, none of us, from the time that we met here last week until the time that we have met here today, our life is not growing longer, it's growing shorter. Every day that we live is one you know, day closer that we are to eternity. And certainly the same is true for those of you who are lost. You are closer now to the time when you're going to have to draw your last breath and lay down this life and go into eternity. And so you're not gaining opportunity. Every opportunity that you allow the devil to persuade you to to not seek the Lord, you are making your opportunities fewer rather than more. And I hope that you understand today that the time is approaching, and the time certainly is going to come either by the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, either Him coming in the clouds of heaven to bring an end to time, and certainly when we look around, I believe that probably most everybody that has been saved by God's grace and really believes the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come again, we believe that it's drawing close. I hear that from people all the time. I believe the coming of the Lord is drawing nigh. I know this, that when we look at the book of Genesis and we consider the things that we are told there about the time that God brought the great flood upon the earth, he looked down and he saw that man was exceeding sinful, that he was becoming more sinful all the time. You know, the morality of the human race wasn't getting better. It was getting worse all the time. And certainly we see the same thing happening in this world today. You know, the morality of people is not getting better. It's getting worse all the time. Every time that we turn around, it seems that there is more sinful things put into practice. Man seems to lean more towards sin all the time. And the Bible tells us that God looked down upon His creation in those days, and He saw their great wickedness, and He saw that every imagination of the thoughts of their heart were only evil continually. And it displeased the Lord when He saw that. It grieved Him at His heart. And the Bible tells us that it repented the Lord that He had even made man on the earth. Now, I'm going to tell you, folks, a lot of people, evidently from their actions, a lot of people don't want to hear it, but I'm telling you today that God is not going to tolerate sin forever. He hasn't yet, and He won't. And so He looked down upon that scene, and when He saw what displeased Him so much about the way that His creation was living, He said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man. His days will be 120 years. And the Bible tells us that there was a man by the name of Noah that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God instructed Noah to begin to build the ark, because he said, I'm going to destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. Noah had, the way I understand it, he had 120 years to work on this task to complete the building of the ark. And the Bible in the New Testament, the Apostle Peter spoke of Noah as a preacher of righteousness. And I believe that it's very safe for us to consider the thought that Noah warned the people of what destruction was about to come upon them. I believe his building the ark was a testimony to them that God was displeased with them and that He was going to send His judgment upon them because of their sin. And you know what? He did. He did. And so Noah built the ark. You know, obviously, during the time, during the years that he was doing that, and this is a sad thought to me, if you think about what really happened there, obviously during the years that Noah was building the ark, and warning the people of God's judgment that was going to come upon them. Evidently, there was nobody that listened to the warning. Evidently, there was nobody that believed that the day was going to come when it was going to be too late for them. The Bible tells us in the 7th chapter of the book of Genesis about the day that Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives entered into the ark. And the rain came, and the fountains of the great deep were broken up. Now, I'm going to tell you something that I believe about that. That when that time come when God unleashed his wrath and brought judgment upon them, when the fountains of the great deep were broken up, there wasn't just a little bit of water that began to trickle from the ground. I'm telling you, there was a great explosion of water coming from underneath. Suddenly, it came upon them. But in that 7th chapter of the book of Genesis, in the 16th verse, it talks about the day that they went into the ark. And listen, they that went in male and female of flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. The Lord shut him in. Now, we can go back and we can read there in the 6th chapter of Genesis, we can read about God's instructions to Noah to build the ark. The Bible gives us some great specifics about it, some great detail concerning the ark. It tells us how long that God told Noah to build the ark, how wide he told him to make it, how high he told him to make it. You know, God knew exactly what that ark needed to be. And he gave Noah very specific instructions on how to build it. And the Bible tells us about how that he put a window. He instructed him to put a window in it upward and to put a door in the side of the ark. And I'm telling you, the Bible doesn't really specify it in those exact words. It just talks about them going into the ark and God shutting them in. But I'm telling you, when they went into the ark, they didn't climb up on the top of that and climb in through the window that was made upward in it. They went into the ark through the door. And when they did, when they were in there, God closed it. He closed them in. He secured them inside of the ark. He shut them in to where the waters, to where the destruction that was coming up on the world could not get to them. And I'm going to tell you something, lost friend. Listen, make no mistake about it, because when God shut them in, he simultaneously shut all of the others out. They couldn't get in. They could not get into the ark. Listen, the Bible teaches me two things concerning this. The Bible teaches me that God can open a door and nobody can shut it. And God can also close a door and nobody can open it. And when God shut them in that ark, I'm telling you, the door was closed. And I believe that that represents to me the end of God's mercy towards them, the end of God's opportunity towards them. Listen, they had the opportunity. They had, from the time that God pronounced judgment upon them, they had that 120 years while the ark was being prepared. They had ample opportunity to believe the preacher of righteousness. They had ample opportunity to believe that what was being said about the fact that God was going to bring destruction upon them. The only problem was is that those who were not prepared did not take advantage of the opportunity. And before they knew it, the time had passed. And God called them that were ready into the ark, and he shut the door, and the water began to swiftly rise and fall from heaven. And I believe it came upon them very suddenly, very suddenly. You know, the Bible says that the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night. And I want you to know this, lost friend, that when he does, when he makes his appearing, it's going to be too late. If you have it in your mind that when he comes, you know, perhaps the time will come when you'll see him coming and you'll realize that you had been told the truth, you realize that the warning that had gone out to you had been true. And so when that happens, you'll turn to the Lord and you'll seek him. Let me tell you something. That's not Bible. The Bible tells me that when that begins to happen, that you're going to realize that it's too late. The Bible doesn't say that when destruction comes. You know, the sixth chapter of Revelation talks about that. It talks about the sun becoming as black as sackcloth of hair, the moon no longer giving her light, the stars falling from heaven as a fig tree casting off her untimely figs. And the Bible doesn't tell me that when people see that they run to Jesus then and they seek him and they get saved. The Bible says they begin to cry for the rocks and mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of the Lord. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 20. Will one day come to be finally fulfilled. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. I'm telling you, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Today, if the Lord deals with your heart today, listen, God is not dealing with you today because he wants to save you next year. He's dealing with you today because he wants you to come to him now. Come to him right now. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. If he's dealing with you now, it's that you might come to him now, that you might believe that today is the day of salvation, that now is the accepted time. Listen, if God's dealing with your heart and telling you that you are lost and drawing you to him, and then you hear another voice saying, yes, but you need to wait, that's not God. That's not God telling you to wait. That's what the devil will do. He'll tell you, well, wait, just put it off. He'll tell you the same thing that he told Felix. Just wait for a more convenient season. That may not come. I'm telling you, God, one day, just as he shut the doors of the ark and shut them in, just as he closed his mercy to those that were unprepared, to those that hadn't listened, to those that had not believed, when God shut the door of the ark, their opportunities was forever past. And I'm telling you that they drowned in the flood. It overtook them. And I'm telling you what, that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, I'll tell you why I believe that they went into that ark through the door. Because that ark represented Jesus. It was a type and shadow of Jesus, the one that's able to deliver. And in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and shall find pasture." And I'm telling you, if you're going to go to heaven when this life is over, if you're going to join the redeemed in that land that God has prepared for his people, if you're going to spend your eternity in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to come through the door. You're going to come the only way that God has made for you to come. The Apostle Peter, in the 3rd chapter of 2 Peter, he spoke about the flood. He spoke about the time when the earth was overflowed with water and it perished. And he said that the world now is reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. And I'm telling you, the Lord is going to come. He's going to come. And if you're not ready when he does, you won't ever be ready. You see, the Bible told us there in that parable in Matthew chapter 25, "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And the others came and saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us,' but it wasn't opened, was it?" And he said, "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the hour," or "you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." You know, sometimes we observe people who are lost, and maybe they begin to seek the Lord, and then they quit. They quit. I'm telling you, you need to seek him until you find him. If you don't do that, listen, when the day of death comes, or the Lord comes in the clouds of glory, and you try to say to him, "Well, I sought you for a little while. You know, I went for a little while. I took a few trips to the mourner's bench and I prayed." I'm telling you, if you haven't sought him until you found him, it won't do you any good. You need to seek until you find him. And I wonder if you have been guilty of that. "Well, I prayed for a little while and then I gave up." I wonder today, lost friend, do you realize that the clock is ticking? Do you realize that your opportunities are passing? Do you realize that there's going to come a day when it's going to be too late for you? And there won't be any more opportunities to ever find God's mercy and be saved. Too late. When the master shuts the door, it's just too late. If we could have a song.